Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, divorce support for dads, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval, and I'm your host. I created this podcast and the Divorced Dadvocate community as a result of my own high conflict divorce, and because you as a dad deserve all the resources necessary to thrive through this challenging time. I encourage you to check out our website at thedivorcedadvocate.com, where there are resources that correspond to this episode, as well as free access to our membership community, where you will find live meetings, free workshops and courses, private discussion groups, and more. And now, on to this week's episode.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Today, we are going to be talking about the pros and cons of a parenting coordinator. This is a topic that has come up quite often lately with several of the guys that are in our group workshop. And so we've been discussing and actually talking in extensive detail about the positives of and negatives of a parenting coordinator, as well as a decision maker. Some of the states don't have that decision maker part of it. And actually, some states just don't even have a parenting coordinator. But here in the states, I think there are 10 that have some 10 states that have some very specific rules around parenting coordinators and how to utilize them. And some of the other states utilize some other names for parenting coordinators. But we're going to talk about some of the pros, and then we're also going to talk about some of the drawbacks around doing that. But before we do so, please welcome Brad, Ashley, Ionut, and Tyler to the Divorce Dadvocate community. If you are not a part of the community or you are just tuning in for the first time, check out the website at thedivorcedadvocate.com and find some more tools that can help you during this challenging time. The divorce quiz is one of those, a great way for you to gauge where you're at in your divorce compared to others who have gone through it. It takes about 10, 15 minutes, and it'll give you some immediate results. And if you want to dive deeper, become a member of the Divorced Advocate community. Inside the membership, there is these full podcast episodes, as well as full blog posts. There is a app with more than 50 courses that will help you through your process here, as well as access to group meetings and discounts on individual coaching. So check it out at thedivorcedadvocate.com, and let's get you the support that you deserve and need. All right. Our practical advice. So it's been a while since I've done a practical advice episode, and this one is around the pros and cons of a parenting coordinator. And so I'm not telling you something that you don't already know, but going through this time and getting through the divorce is challenging enough. But once you do get done and you do have a parenting plan and a divorce decree and it's all signed off on, then you actually have to execute it with a co-parent. And as we've talked about a lot before, that it takes two people to have a relational dynamic in the marriage. And so also post-divorce, there is going to be a relational dynamic as well. And sometimes because we are getting a divorce and because we know that this person is somebody that we are no longer able to make decisions with together, may have been one of the reasons why we've gotten a divorce, that dynamic does just not automatically change right off the bat. And so this is where a parenting coordinator can come in to help you to mitigate some of these challenges, some of these misunderstandings. Sometimes it's just the mere fact of having a divorce plan, a parenting plan, and a divorce decree that just is not written very well or is very specific. One of the things that I talk with guys about when they're in the process of this and getting to the end of the process and getting the divorce either signed off on or going to trial, is that they be very, very specific in the in the language of the parenting plan and or the divorce decree, because it's better to have very specific, stringent criteria in there than to have it be up for interpretation. It's easier to loosen the grip on it, if you will, for the both of you than it is to try to increase the grip after the fact, which oftentimes ends up having to go back to court or at the very least involving attorneys at a significant dollar amount and expense in order to get things resolved and clarified. So if getting and then even if you do have it written pretty airtight, then there are still some things that are up for interpretations, or you have could have an ex that is just very difficult and challenging, or even at the worst, litigious and just wants to keep things going on and on. So that's where a parenting coordinator can come in and be useful. So one of the main things that is a positive about a parenting coordinator is that they're professional. They're qualified professionals who are specifically or especially trained in matters concerning mental health and family issues. So they have a thorough understanding of the complexities of divorce and its impact on the family. Oftentimes, and I would say probably usually, they are attorneys that do this in addition to being family law attorneys. So they do have experience dealing with various family matters and co-parenting issues. So the role of that parenting coordinator is to facilitate co-parenting decisions and resolve any conflicts in a fair and impartial way, which we'll talk about, which could be some, one of the cons, if they're not, that we'll talk about later. But they're supposed to do it in a consultative way and manner with both parents and with the best interests of the children as the primary concern. So they are professionals. They are people that are in the industry and work usually in some capacity, some other capacity in the industry. So they have a pretty good working knowledge and understanding of the courts, the systems, et cetera. The next pro of using a parenting coordinator is they are good at keeping parents focused on the proper priorities. So even when there's a significant conflict or disagreement between parents regarding what the property custody arrangement for the children should be, parenting coordinators often have a knack for helping parents realize and understand that their disputes may negatively impact their children's behavior in life and that the decisions they make should be based on what they believe to be in the best interest of their children and not their own wishes. This is where they can help sometimes to separate the emotions from what parents need to be doing and focusing in on for their kids. So, you know, divorce and separation can be extremely stressful for children, and the parenting coordinators help minimize that stress by mediating between parents to solve disputes and while also guiding parents to keep their focus on what is best for their children. Now, again, that's always that is always with the caveat that the parent has the best interests of the kids in mind. So some just don't, and some just don't work from that mindset, whether or not you have a parent coordinator or not. But some, oftentimes the parent coordinator can help to guide that perspective of putting the kids first. The next pro of using a parenting coordinator is they are strong mediators. Like I mentioned, they are oftentimes attorneys or in some way involved with the court system. And so parenting coordinators act as a mediator between parents and help facilitate healthy communication between them by focusing on the major issues in dispute and offering possible solutions. Now, with that said, not every mediator is a parenting coordinator is a good mediator. Just like every attorney is not necessarily a good trial attorney or a good negotiator. So just because they are one doesn't mean, or they are a parenting coordinator, doesn't mean that they are strong. And I highly, highly recommend interviewing a parenting coordinator if you're considering, or a parenting coordinator if you are considering one. If you're agreeing, there's a couple ways that they can get assigned to your case, or that you can end up with one, if you will. And one is that you're coming to agreement to have one, to utilize one, or to contract with one in agreement with your ex or soon to be ex. Now, that's the best way to do it, because then you can choose one that you both like, that you can feel good about working with. And if you have one, if you have an ex that you can communicate with and you can choose one with, that will help you to just work through any misunderstandings of the parenting plan, then that's the best way to go about it. Now, if one or the other does not want one, then they have to file a motion to have one appointed by the court. And then that's where the court will decide to what extent this parenting coordinator will be involved in your life. And so obviously you would rather not have the court be deciding on things that you don't want for, or you do want for your family. You'd like to do that yourself. So if you can get that agreed upon yourself with your ex or soon to be ex, that's probably the best way to go about it. And in that vein, just make sure to spend time in interviewing ones to see and know how strong a mediators you think or feel they will be. You won't get 100% feel, but you'll be able to ask some good poignant questions in an interview. The next pro of using a parenting coordinator is they can keep you out of court. So parenting coordinators devote their time and attention to helping parents resolve conflicts on their own and without the need to seek court intervention, thus removing the stress and uncertainty that comes from having a judge who is not intimately familiar with the circumstances, nor do they really want to become intimately familiar with your circumstances, or the lies and family dynamics, and the parenting coordinator can make decisions that directly impact both parents and their children without the courts can and will do that sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, make decisions that directly impact both parents and their children without parental impact and agreement. So, and that's if you're in a high conflict, it goes to court, there is a trial, and then the court makes up their mind. So again, if you can avoid that, that is the best way to do it. The parental coordinator can help that. Not always. Again, if you just have an argumentative ex or an ex that just has no incentive to ever negotiate or come to terms and settle things, then it just doesn't matter if you have a parenting coordinator or not, because I've been involved in the situation and they're just going to want what they want and keep trying to get it until they're absolutely told no by the law. And the judge orders something that may be contrary to what they're looking for. So that's the case where they won't keep you out of court. But if most people are rational and want to have come to some sort of agreement and not have to go through the painstaking process of going to court, hiring attorneys, going through all that process. So they can definitely keep you out of court and help you to resolve things in an amicable way. And that is always a good thing, not having to appear in front of a judge, state your case, and roll the dice with whatever is going on with that judge or magistrate on that day. All right, those are the pros. Let's talk about four things that are potential cons of using a parenting coordinator. The first one being they can get expensive. Like I said, these are usually attorneys or in some way involved in the family law system. And parents can become overly reliant on parenting coordinators during the process and end up contacting them often and requesting frequent meetings. And as you can imagine, the cost of using a parenting coordinator can really add up. Here's a way in which you can try to mitigate some of that is by having a termination date. So you can, if you're agreeing upon it, you can set that for a year or 2 years. I know here in Colorado, if the court does on their own or through a motion or a contested motion, assign one, I think the maximum amount of time they can do is 2 years, and then they would have to get reappointed. So if there is no termination date determined by the court on the use of a parenting coordinator, parents may be obliged to consult with them and therefore pay them every time they have a dispute to resolve until their child reaches the age of 18. Now, again, like I mentioned in the opening, different states have different statutes around these. I think there are actually only 10 states that have some very specific ways in which parenting coordinators can work, and then the rest of the states have it, I'm assuming, in a more loose manner. So it can get expensive, maybe not quite as expensive as having a or having to hire an attorney and mitigate or mediate the stuff through one attorney to the other side's attorney, but it still can get expensive if you've got somebody that is just not cooperative and is going to want to continue to argue over every little thing and has no incentive to just come to any terms or to negotiate or to compromise. So that is a con. The next is parenting coordinators can become a crutch. Oftentimes parents will rely on parenting coordinators as a permanent decision-making mechanism. As you can imagine, this prevents parents from figuring out ways to work together to solve disputes and make child-related decisions together, resulting in a persistent dysfunctional relationship between the parents. Again, this is an unhealthy dynamic, whatever it may be in your relationship, that is causing you to divorce and to separate ways. And the last thing you want to do is add another dysfunctional relationship or a way in which you do relate with the other person. And so this can be a drawback, particularly if one parent is constantly going to the parenting coordinator for things, and it goes on and on and on, and just will not learn to have to come and really act like an adult and figure out what is in the best interest of the kids and compromise on what that might be. So that's a way in which it can become a crutch and more challenging. Again, if you've got just somebody that is high conflict, does not want to resolve anything and is not going to do anything, whether you have a mediator or a parenting coordinator, and is not going to solve anything unless a court's going to tell them, maybe the parenting coordinator is not such a great idea, because you're just prolonging and extending the expenses to which you can get some sort of resolution around any particular issue. The next con of using a parenting coordinator is decisions made by a parenting coordinator are not always satisfactory. Parents will rely on parenting coordinators as a permanent decision-making mechanism, which in turn prevents parents from figuring out ways to work together to solve disputes and make child-related decisions again together. And this is very similar to the parenting coordinators becoming a crutch, because you may not be happy with what comes up. And so I've had an experience in having a parenting coordinator and the decision made by the parenting coordinator that is not satisfactory. And that was that the parenting coordinator just changed the rules in the middle of our mediation, if you will, with her, and said one thing and then decided to do something else. And so you are at the whim of somebody that is going to potentially do something that they want to do and how they want to do, even if that means changing their mind as to what the rules were, or changing the rules, if you will, in the middle of the game. And so the decisions made by that parenting coordinator may not always be satisfactory. Now, with that said, I will add that most cases that I've heard of, the parenting coordinators are really looking to help find resolution around this specific circumstance or situation that you're bringing in, are trying to do it in an impartial way, and are looking at it from the standpoint of what is in the best interest of the kids. So while it might not always be satisfactory, they typically have a process. But again, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier, which is spend the time in interviewing these parenting coordinators. You have the opportunity to make that decision as to who it would be if you guys are negotiating to have this written into your divorce decree, or one or the other of you wants to have this as a motion, you're trying to get it agreed upon before going to court. Now, once you do a motion, if you're not in agreement to this, then you might not be able to choose who it is that you want. So again, if you can try to negotiate this and figure out who it is that you're going to use. And you can take the time to interview them and make sure that you're comfortable with maybe their decision-making process. And that's a question that you can ask them, is how, what would that process look like? And how would you come to your decisions? Those are really good questions to ask. The last con of using a parenting coordinator is they are human. Parenting coordinators are not infallible and are subject to human emotion. So maybe an initial negative first impression of a parent or a personal bias or partiality can affect the decision-making process, which includes decisions on which parent a child resides with or how much time he or she spends with each parent. Now, look, guys, I'm not telling you probably anything that you haven't already experienced now, but that is a huge consideration for us dads in the family law court. So if you're getting a divorce, just keep that in mind. If you're listening to this and you're not in the process, you're not through the process, that you are going to, as a dad, have an uphill battle, particularly with things like personal bias or partiality in decision making, and that just goes all the way up and down the chain of family law court, from attorneys to judges and magistrates. So pay attention to that. Could potentially extend to your parenting coordinator. Again, I just said it several times. Take the time to ask the questions to the parenting coordinator, interview them. If you know somebody that may have worked with them, find out what their experience was, because there are ones that are out there that are incredibly biased. Same goes for parental responsibility evaluation. Same goes for child and family investigations. Same goes for anything else. Make sure, gentlemen, excuse me, you are taking the time to educate yourself about every process in the divorce, in divorce court, in family law court. Read those statutes in your given country, state, county, whatever it might be, so that you are up to speed and know exactly what's going on. Do not just rely on an attorney or anybody else to help you make those decisions. The attorneys know the law. The attorneys don't know your family, don't know the dynamic, don't know what's in the best interest for you. They know how to work through the system and help you to get through the system. You are the ones that needs to make those decisions and be the coach of your divorce, if you will. The attorneys will be an important part of that team, maybe the quarterback, as will financial planners, therapists, coaches, etc. But you are the one that is in charge. So take the information like this that you're getting today in this episode of Practical Advice, as well as any of the information from any of the other podcast episodes. Listen up to everything that you can and learn as much as you possibly can about divorce and the process. Talk to others. That's where coming into the community here, the Divorced Advocate community, and getting on group calls, which we've got one coming up this Saturday at 9 a.m. Mountain. You can check out the details at the Divorced Advocate website and get registered there on the membership site for a free 7 days. And you can jump on our call this Saturday at 9 a.m. Mountain time and talk with the other guys. That's where we trade a lot of information. Talk about the experiences. Those of us who are down the road in having experienced divorce can share. But even if you are in it, there are guys that talk about their experiences in it. And we've gotten to the point where we've got enough reach that we have guys from different states here in the United States that are able to connect in California, New Jersey, and Texas, I think, are some of them where guys are talking about and sharing their experiences of the court systems. And so that is the goal here. The community is to proliferate this to the extent that we're sharing all of this with other dads who are either contemplating going through or just having experienced divorce, so that you can get the support that you need. It's hopefully something you're not going to go through more than one time, because it is difficult, challenging, and stressful. But that's why we have built this community here to help support you through it, to lift you up and give you what you need, the tools and resources to get through it. Promise, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and there is a life that is absolutely glorious once you get through with it. And your kiddos, your relationship, that all can and will improve. So if you are in the midst of it and you are in difficulty and challenges and lots of pain, I've been there. There are literally thousands of guys that are listening to this episode that are going through it with you as well. And there are tens of thousands of guys that have listened to these episodes over the last 3 years that have gotten through it. And I hear from them, and they do share that life has gotten better, as difficult and as challenging as it was going through it. So I promise you that that it will get better. Get involved, get engaged, don't self-isolate, and most importantly of all, take care of yourself through the process. I hope you found some value in that today, the Practical Advice episode, pros and cons of a parenting coordinator. If you did, please stop right now and leave us a comment in the comment section of your podcast platform. That is the number one way in which you can help us. Number two way is you can share this episode somewhere on your email list or on your social media feed so that other divorced or divorcing dads, or even you may have heard Ashley's name, one of the people in our community now. We have lots of mothers, sisters, girlfriends that do get involved in the community to help brothers and sons and boyfriends that are experiencing or have experienced divorce and are needing some help and support through that. So if you are a woman listening to this, I sincerely appreciate this. Share it with somebody that you know that needs it. We all know somebody. We know all know a dad who has or is going through a divorce. So share this information with them. It may change his life. Thanks so much for listening this week. Have a fantastic week, and God bless.
To hear the rest of this episode and access the corresponding resources, visit thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member of our community. It's free to join and will provide you with the resources you deserve as a divorced or divorcing dad. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk with you next week.